too weary to resist, or too weak. I am in my second childhood. I do not see you as you really are. I can't remember what I really am. I feel nothing but the accursed happiness I have dreaded all my life long. The happiness that comes as life goes. The happiness of yielding and dreaming instead of resisting and doing. The sweetness of the fruit that is going rotten.
You dread it almost as much as I used to dread losing my dreams and having to fight and do things. But that is all over for me. My dreams are dashed to pieces. I should like to marry a very old, very rich man. I should like to marry you. I had much rather marry you than marry Mangan. Are you very rich?
No, living from hand to mouth. And I have a wife somewhere in Jamaica, a black one. My first wife, unless she's dead.
What a pity! I feel so happy with you. I thought I should never feel happy again.
Why?
Don't you know?
No.
Heartbreak. I fell in love with Hector and didn't know he was married.
Heartbreak? Are you one of those who are so sufficient to themselves that they are only happy when they are stripped of everything, even of hope?
It seems so. For I feel now as if there was nothing I could not do, because I want nothing.
That's the only real strength. That's genius. That's better than rum.
Rum? Why did you spoil it?
Hector and Randall come in from the garden through the starboard door.
I beg your pardon. We did not know there was anyone here.
That means that you want to tell Randall the story about the tiger. Come, Captain. I want to talk to my father, and you had better come with me.
Nonsense. The man is in bed.
Aha! I've caught you. My real father has gone to bed, but the father you gave me is in the kitchen. You knew quite well all along. Come.
She draws him out into the garden with her through the port door.
That's an extraordinary girl. She has the Ancient Mariner on a string like a Pekingese dog.
Now that they have gone, shall we have a friendly chat?
You are in what is supposed to be my house. I am at your disposal.
I take it that we may be quite frank. I mean about Lady Utterword.
You may. I have nothing to be frank about. I never met her until this afternoon.
What? But you are her sister's husband.
Well, if you come to that, you are her husband's brother.
But you seem to be on intimate terms with her.
So do you.
Yes, but I am on intimate terms with her. I have known her for years.
It took her years to get to the same point with you that she got to with me in 5 minutes, it seems.
Really? Ariadne is the limit.
She is, as I remarked to Hesione, a very enterprising woman.
You see, Hashabai, you are what women consider a good-looking man.
I cultivated that appearance in the days of my vanity, and Hesione insists on my keeping it up.
Hector indicates his Arab costume.
She makes me wear these ridiculous things because she thinks me absurd in evening dress.
Still, you do keep it up, old chap. Now, I assure you, I have not an atom of jealousy in my disposition.
The question would seem to be rather whether your brother has any touch of that sort.
What? Hastings? Oh, don't trouble about Hastings. He has the gift of being able to work 16 hours a day at the dullest detail and actually likes it. That gets him to the top wherever he goes. As long as Ariadne takes care that he is fed regularly, he is only too thankful to anyone who will keep her in good humor for him.
And as she has all the shot-over fascination, there is plenty of competition for the job, eh?
Oh, she encourages them. Her conduct is perfectly scandalous. I assure you, my dear fellow, I haven't an atom of jealousy in my composition. But she makes herself the talk of every place she goes by her thoughtlessness. It's nothing more. She doesn't really care for the men she keeps hanging about her. But how is the world to know that? It's not fair to Hastings. It's not fair to me.
Her theory is that her conduct is so correct.
Correct? She does nothing but make scenes from morning till night. You be careful, old chap. She will get you into trouble. That is, she would if she really cared for you.
Doesn't she?
Not a scrap. She may want your scalp to add to her collection, but our true affection has been engaged years ago. You had really better be careful.
Do you suffer much from this jealousy?
Jealousy? I? Jealous? My dear fellow, haven't I told you that there is not an atom?
Yes, and Lady Utterword told me she never makes scenes. Well, don't waste your jealousy on my mustache. Never waste jealousy on a real man. It is the imaginary hero that supplants us all in the long run. Besides, jealousy does not belong to your easy man-of-the-world pose, which you carry so well in other respects.
Really, Hushabye. I think a man may be allowed to be a gentleman without being accused of posing.
It is a pose like any other. In this house, we know all the poses. Our game is to find out the man under the pose. The man under your pose is apparently Ellie's favorite.
Othello! Some of your games in this house are damned annoying, let me tell you.
Yes, I've been their victim for many years. I used to writhe under them at first, but I became accustomed to them. At last, I learned how to play them.
If it's all the same to you, I'd rather you didn't play them on me. You evidently don't quite understand my character or my notions of good form.
Is it your notion of good form to give away Lady Utterword?
I have not said a word against Lady Utterword. This is just the conspiracy over again.
What conspiracy?
You know very well, sir. A conspiracy to make me out to be pettish and jealous and childish and everything I am not. Everyone knows I am just the opposite.
Something in the air of the house has upset you. It often does have that effect.
Hector goes to the garden door and calls Lady Utterword.
Ariadne?
Yes?
What are you calling her for? I want to speak.
Yes? You really are a terribly commanding person. What's the matter?
I do not know how to manage your friend Randall. No doubt you do.
Randall, have you been making yourself ridiculous as usual? I can see it in your face. Really, you are the most pettish creature.
You know quite well, Ariadne, that I have not an ounce of pettishness in my disposition. I have made myself perfectly pleasant here. I have remained absolutely cool and imperturbable in the face of a burglar. Imperturbability is almost too strong a point of mine. But I insist on being treated with a certain consideration. I will not allow Hushabye to take liberties with me. I will not stand your encouraging people as you do.
The man has a rooted delusion that he is your husband.
I know. He's jealous. As if he had any right to be. He compromises me everywhere. He makes scenes all over the place. Randall, I will not allow it. I simply will not allow it. You had no right to discuss me with Hector. I will not be discussed by men.
Be reasonable, Ariadne. Your fatal gift of beauty forces men to discuss you.
Oh, indeed. What about your fatal gift of beauty?
How can I help it?
You could cut off your mustache. I can't cut off my nose. I get my whole life messed up with people falling in love with me. And then Randall says I run after men. Yes, you do. You said it just now. Why can't you think of something else than women? Napoleon was quite right when he said that women are the occupation of the idle man. Well, if ever there was an idle man on earth, his name is Randall Utterword. Yes, you are. It's no use denying it. What have you ever done? What good are you? You were as much trouble in the house as a child of three. You couldn't live without your valet.
This is
laziness. You are laziness incarnate. You are selfishness itself. You are the most uninteresting man on earth. You can't even gossip about anything but yourself and your grievances and your ailments and the people who've offended you.
Do you know
what they call him, Hector?
Please don't tell me.
Randall the Rotter. That is his name in good society.
I'll not bear it, I tell you! Will you listen to me, you infernal?
Go on. What were you going to call me? An infernal what? What unpleasant animal is it to be this time?
There is no animal in the world so hateful as a woman can be! You are a maddening devil! Hushabye, you will not believe me when I tell you that I have loved this demon all my life. But God knows I have paid for it.
Crybaby.
My friend, the Shotover sisters have two strange powers over men. They can make them love, and they can make them cry. Thank your stars that you are not married to one of them.
And pray, Hector.
Hector suddenly catches her round the shoulders
and swings her right round him and away from Randall.
Hector grips her throat with his other hand.
Ariadne, if you attempt to start on me, I'll choke you. Do you hear? The cat and mouse game with the other sex is a good game, but I can play your head off at it.
He throws her,
not at all gently,
into the big chair.
It's true that Napoleon said that woman is the occupation of the idle man, but he added that she is the relaxation of the warrior. Well, I am the warrior, so take care.
My dear Hector, I have only done what you asked me to do.
How do you make that out, pray?
You called me in to manage Randall, didn't you? You said you couldn't manage him yourself.
Well, what if I did? I did not ask you to drive the man mad.
He isn't mad. That's the way to manage him. If you were a mother, you'd understand.
Mother, what are you up to now?
It's quite simple. When the children got nerves and were naughty, I smacked them just enough to give them a good cry and a healthy nervous shock. They went to sleep and were quite good afterwards. Well, I can't smack Randall, he's too big, so when he gets nerves and is naughty, I just rag him till he cries. He will be all right now. Look, he's half asleep already.
Which is quite true.
Randall wakes up indignantly.
I'm not. You are most cruel, Ariadne. But I suppose I must forgive you as usual.
Is the explanation satisfactory, Dread Warrior?
Someday I shall kill you if you go too far. I thought you were a fool.
Everybody does it first, but I'm not such a fool as I look. Now, Randall, go to bed. You'll be a good boy in the morning.
I'll go to bed when I like. It isn't 10 yet.
It is long past 10. See that he goes to bed at once, Hector.
She goes into the garden.
Is there any slavery on earth viler than this slavery of men to women?
I'll not speak to her tomorrow. I'll not speak to her for another week. I'll give her such a lesson. I'll go straight to bed without bidding her good night.
He makes for the door leading to the hall.
You are under a spell, man. Old Shotover sold himself to the devil in Zanzibar. The devil gave him a black witch for a wife, and these two demon daughters are their mystical progeny. I am tied to Hesione's apron string, but I'm her husband. And if I did go stark staring mad about her, at least we became man and wife. But why you should let yourself be dragged about and beaten by Ariadne as a toy donkey is dragged about and beaten by a child? What you get by it? Are you her lover?
You must not misunderstand me. In a higher sense, in a platonic sense...
Pshaw! Platonic sense. She makes you her servant, and when payday comes around, she bilks you. That is what you mean.
Well, if I don't mind, I don't see what business it is of yours. Besides, I tell you, I am going to punish her. You shall see. I know how to deal with women. I'm really very sleepy. Say goodnight to Mrs. Hushabye for me, will you, like a good chap? Good night.
He hurries out.
Poor wretch. Oh, women, women, women.
He lifts his fists in invocation to heaven.
Fall and crush!
He goes out into the garden.